You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, and she just texted me again and says, yes, I still miss every single one of you. Thank you so much for being here, joining us, sticking with us through the show. I want to share with you, before we get started with everything, share some breaking news coming out of Minneapolis right now. There has been an active shooter at Minneapolis Church and Catholic School. In South Minneapolis, Governor Tim Walz has confirmed the shooting at Annunciation Catholic School on the south side of Minneapolis. This is all coming, by the way, of NBCNews.com. ATF agents have responded to the active shooter reports, and the FBI is aware of the reports as well. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey says that they are monitoring the reports of the horrific violence in South Minneapolis, and the emergency response team has been activated. As we know more, we'll share with, of course, but it is absolutely a tragedy. It was going on. And we're keeping them in our hearts as always, as this happens oh so many times, too many times, I should say. But I'm very excited, though, to have as our guest today. She is the Outagamie Democratic Chair. She is the Chair of Chairs. That is the title. Chair of Chairs is like first of the House, Mother of Dragons, Mother of Chairs. Emily.
I need to come up. Something.
Yeah, exactly. Emily Cephos is our guest. She's back, friend of the show, been here many times. Love having her here. Emily, hello, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hello, Greg. I am doing well, and I'm excited to be here with you this morning. So thanks for having me on.
Of
always
course.
A pleasure.
Yeah, always love you having around. And when I contacted you earlier, I said, what do you want me to call you? Like, well, your title, and you gave me like your Chair of the County Chairs Association, Outagamie Dems Chair and Community, or just mom, wife, just what? Super lady. You wear a cape and at night you fight crime.
I like it. I should think of myself more. I'll have more energy maybe if I perceive myself that way.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Superman never gets tired. But you wrote a new article for the Recombobulation Area, and its title is very simple and very to the point: How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. Because in 2024, a message was sent for the voters, and I am not a member of the Democratic Party anymore, and I have a lot of thoughts on this matter, but it feels like, and I know it's less than a year into the second Trump administration, but for me personally, I feel like there's a lot of work to be done on the Democratic side, and I'd love to get your thoughts on whether we're talking, county parties, state parties, national parties, there's a lot of work to be done. Where do you see the first steps need to be taken, Emily?
Sure. I mean, we know that we're polling as a party at a 30-year low at this point. Like, we are not great at this juncture. But one of the things I wanted to point out is that not only is there, I think there's a perceived connection from like the tippy top of the Democratic Party to those of us that are on the ground, like just fighting for democratic ideals. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to bring that power back to the grassroots, to the people that are living in the communities that are just showing up for their neighbor and being like, look, I mean, frankly, like if we're being honest, Greg, like it's a two-party system and it's not perfect. And mm-hmm. So there's a lot of criticisms that I could also give to what's happening within the Democratic Party. But I know that in the way that we're structured with our government, that is the vehicle that we need to be pushing for at this point. And that's like how I perceive it. But I think that there's a lot that we can do at the grassroots, at the county party level, like with our neighbors to further like the cause, the ideology, and to build a lot of like power and trust back so that we can make the headways. We can start chipping away at the mountain, as it were. But all the while we're doing the right thing for our neighbors. And I think we forget about that. We're kind of waiting for someone to show up on a white horse and like carry us off into the sunset. And that's simply not going to happen. So let's take the power that we have like right here, right now, and start to utilize it in our own communities.
I'm going to quote from the article that you wrote for the Recombobulation Area, specifically with regard to the perception of the Democratic Party. It says, a recent survey showed our party's favorability at a net minus 32, which has been, which is the worst it's been in three decades. And I think, you know, I think you nailed something right there with regard to there's so many, there could be so many cooks in the kitchen because you've got, you got your local parties, you've got your county parties, you've got your state parties, you got, and everyone wants to talk and everyone wants to see the table. And I understand that. And I think what you're discussing is probably the best start because you can only control what's in front of you. And something that, you know, cannot be disputed. I know because I worked on the Obama campaign in 2008. I think one of the things that really made a difference was setting up all those offices in communities, knocking on doors and talking to people. If you look at the numbers in 2000, where I was working in Wauwatosa, they voted 100% for George W. Bush. In 2008, they voted 53% for Obama. Now, some will say, well, that's not much. That's huge. In from 2000 to 2008, that's huge. And I think that speaks to what you're talking about of the grassroots level, the discussions, the community conversations. And I think that's where we can do the best good is by just having those good talks with people.
I mean, I think that's how you break through the noise, right? Like we are, you are being bombarded with information, whether it is from news channels or from the, you know, the money players, I guess, when it comes to our politics. But what, to your point, what makes a difference is talking to your neighbors. And I think that we need to employ all of the people that care about their communities in that way to do start doing that again, because we're able to silo each other off, and we too often are like, politics is taboo. That's what we're taught in the Midwest as far as like our culture is concerned. And we need to get back to connecting the hurt that people are feeling outside their front door to the policy decisions that were made to lead to that hurt, because oftentimes it is politically tied. And frankly, people are working too hard to like dig into the weeds about like what the legislation was, what passed in committee, who did what. So we need to do that for them.
I mean, I get paid to look at the news every day from multiple news sources. And sometimes people will say, did you hear that story? I'm like, how did I miss that? Or you have to remember, oh, yeah, Trump said that 3 months ago. I can't believe I forgot that. I feel like this was the first election in 2024 that podcasting really played a part. And that's a whole new level. Social media came in, that was one level. Podcasting especially, because you saw bro podcasts having on all the quote coupon. And I'm going to say this, and I know people don't like it. I think one of the reasons Donald Trump won in 2024, and you might not like this, as a brand, he's cool. He has cool branding, cool merch. His, you know, he said he's the guy who's like, hey, you want to have Taco Bell for breakfast this morning? Let's do it. You can do it. You're American. And people hook onto that thing of just like what that brash individualism. And that came across in a whole new medium. And so now in 2025, Democrats are left saying, what do we do next? How do we do this? And as you put in the article, it doesn't come with a slogan, and it can't be finding the Joe Rogan or hoping for a blue wave or new Obama. It's about really doing the work and investing the time.
Yeah. And I think like to your point, like that we, you know, when we meet every month in Appleton and we're talking through like what we're going to do next, it's about recognizing the fact that like we can't control what's going on like with podcasts, right? Like we can't control who they're going to, you know, fall in line for or do whatever with when it comes to the next, like the midterms or the next presidential. We can control what we're doing in our own communities and who we're talking to and how we're saying it. And I think like that is what's keeping me at this point as someone active in this political space from like curling up in the fetal position and just like kind of being like, all right, 3.5 years, we're going to white knuckle it. Like, it's really reassuring to know that if you actually do that work and you dedicate yourself and your team to doing that kind of work, you will see that you can make those inroads, that you can start to have those conversations. It is not something that people are like adverse to. It's simply because they're sucking in like the podcasts and the ads and the social media stuff, and no one's coming to counter it. Yeah. But you just need to counter it in a way that is community centered. And I think that we'll see a lot of progress that way.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Air on Air, we're speaking to Emily Cephos, who is the chair of the Outagamie County Dems. Wow, words tough. Who knew? And she is our guest today. We're talking about her new article in the recombobulation area entitled How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. And yeah, I mean, it always comes down to that conversation. It always comes down to having a talk at a dinner table. And it can be and honestly, it should be uncomfortable if you have disagreements. You should push each other to figure out why you believe in something and where do the foundations of your belief come from? And I'm talking about everybody, by the way, not just the people who come to Thanksgiving once a year and ruin it with Trump talk. I'm talking about yourselves, your friends, because there's a lot of self-reflection that needs to come after an election like 2024. And one of the things in your article, you talk about a story where you raise money to pay off student lunch debts in the Freedom Area School District. And you say something very important there that in there. It says, I know some of these people who gave money are Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's like showing up, right? And doing the right thing for people. And I think when we raised about $1,600 for Freedom Area School District, which is a fraction of what they end up with every year. And I would encourage you all to look into your school districts because it is appalling, mm-hmm. the amount of debt that they are straddled with. But when we did that, it was to just say, we're just raising money. We're raising money. It's all 100% of it's going to this school district. They need it. It will help to alleviate some of, the stress that they're feeling. And then when we did it and people asked why, we said the reason that these school districts are straddled with tens of thousands of dollars in lunch debt is because we've been underfunding them. And so like they have nothing to grab from. There's no like piggy bank that they can take this money from because they are already in the red on so many other issues. And if we'd fix some of that stuff, like we wouldn't have to do this as a community. Mm-hmm. And so we connect the hurt. We connect what is happening at our local community schools to the policy choices that have been made that have led us to this consequence. Because again, we need to be connecting the dots in every way we can.
And that's something we were talking about earlier before you came on the show. I was discussing the WPR article. It says that most likely voters are going to have to go back to the polls to yay or nay referendums to fund our schools. And I don't know if this question just sounds dumb, but when are people going to get sick of this? When are the people going to stand up and say to the legislature in Madison, do your part? You're not doing enough. You think you've given money. I think it's adorable you think about that greatest investment in generation. That's a great thought, Robin Voss. But you haven't done enough. And we saw that in the last budget or the budget we're in right now and the coming budget. So now it's up to us, the people like me who have no children, to say yes or no. And at some point, I understand when people just want to say no.
Well, and you're they're not only doing the underfunding, but they're also simultaneously like maligning the work that's being done in our schools. So they're saying we gave them all that money. They shouldn't, they should be thankful kind of thing. And then you as a citizen that might not be as engaged, that might not understand all of what's happening in Madison are saying, you're right. I just raised my property taxes 4 years ago. Why am I doing this again? You must be wasting it because that's what they told me. And so we're discrediting our public school systems and the goal is privatization. We need to say that part out loud.
Oh yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And we said it earlier too, is like there'd be a lot more money in the pot if we just stopped funding an entire second school system in this state, but that's a whole other conversation. We can keep going after we go grab some snacks. But before we do that, that's the other, I think that is a big problem though, that Democrats have to reckon with. And it's been kind of the worst kept secret in the world. When Republicans say, we gave you the money and the schools still aren't doing good, why do you want to raise your taxes? That's an easier soundbite to digest and repeat to your buddies than it is to say, here's the information on why the system is failing us right now. And people are like, I don't want to learn. I don't have time to listen to this. I've got things to do. So we're going to keep this conversation going with Emily Cephos, who is the Outagamie County Dems chair, also author of the new spot in the recombobulation area called How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep it going. We want to hear from you. Call us, text 855-752-4842 on Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently not here, but she loves you. We are talking to Emily Cephos, who is the chair of the Outagamie County Dems, and we are discussing her new article in the recombobulation area entitled How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust. And we're discussing that. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what we in this house still call Twitter. And something that I want to quote really quick from that article, Emily, is what you have right underneath that title. And I think this is an important aspect of the conversation because there's reckoning that needs to be done. There's self-reflection that needs to be done post-2024. Is that here's the quote. We don't need to wait for permission. We don't need the perfect polling memo or a six-figure campaign budget or even consensus on every issue. What we need is already here. And I think that's an important thing because, again, say what you will about the GOP, and I've said this for a long time. They vote together, they stick together, they win together. And that is something the Democrats have always had a problem with, is that we have an issue. Issue whatever. Take whatever issue you want to pick, one of the big ones. There can be a general consensus, but then there's always going to be voices from either further left or center left, mid, who muddle the discussion where we can't get things done, and then nothing gets done, and then you look like you have no ability, and you get tagged as whatever they want to call the left. But I think if they just sat down and said, look, we're not going to agree on everything. This is a big tent, a lot of people. We're not going to agree, but can we just at least say we want to start here and work towards this next goal, and then so on and so forth.
Yeah, I think that like one of the things I say often is like we can't let perfection get in the way of progress. Mm. And it's hard, right? Because under that big tent, you have people that are experiencing the world in a different way than yes. like I am as a white woman, for example. But really, like it's important right now and what we're saying, you know, when we're talking to other organizations in the area and when we're working through some things is like we're rowing together. We have to be rowing together. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are going to be differences in how we'd approach it or what we want that end goal to be. But there, we don't have time to waste. And I think like mm-hmm. that's pretty much the point, is that we don't have time to waste because so many things are falling away right now. And it's just really important that we're gathering all the people that we can to make, you know, as much of an impact as possible.
And I think you bring up a good point too. There are folks out there, and if you've not watched the live stream, I am a white gentleman living in Wisconsin, full of lots of privilege that I realize I have. And listening to those voices of whether it's younger people or older folks, people from a different background, and instead of saying, well, we've got this, we know what we're doing, trust us and we'll move forward, bring them in, support mm-hmm. them. I think that's one of the things we see with certain elections around the country is you see the Democratic, you know, the big machine, the brand name of National Democratic Party saying, this isn't what we're doing. This isn't who we are. Well, no, but I'm in the tent. Listen to me. I want to help the people in my community. Going back to what you said earlier, Emily, these are the conversations I've had with my people, my community. This is what right. we need to get done. I need your support. And there needs to be leadership that understands that instead of saying, well, just you wait for a while. That's not how it's going to work. And that it just sows more dissent and more distrust within the party.
Yeah. And I think like an important part of that too, is when you're, you know, the same way that we're having conversations with folks on the other side, right? When we're talking to Republicans and we're like, I really just need to understand your perspective and how you got to whatever rabbit hole you might have gone down or whatever your belief system is. Same thing within the Democratic Party, right? Like, so that if I'm more centrist and I'm talking to someone that's super far left on our spectrum, to say, tell me why, like, what you're doing is so important, kind of thing. So I understand, like, coming from a place of curiosity, but then offering in that same kind of vein of respect with that far left person, like, but here's how we need to format that so it fits into my community, so it's not just something that they can spin, right? Like, because we need to make sure that we are, whatever we're talking about, make sure that we're focusing on the issues that are most impactful, that are not going to be spun in a way that is completely like a turnoff for people, but we're still working toward the end goal where yeah. everybody fits and you're getting those things done.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a challenge to a lot of people who identify on, you know, whether it's center left, medium left, mild left, whatever it is, yeah. listening to younger people speak about their experiences and what they need from a partnership with this country or with their state or with their community. to not discount their needs, their wants, and their desires based on their age or, quote, inexperience. Well, you don't know anything. You're not married. You don't own property, blah, blah. It's like, it doesn't matter. It matters that they have needs and they need to be heard. Because when you don't listen, they walk away and they don't vote. And they say, right. Well, why am I part of this system? You don't care about me.
Mm-hmm. I know. And to go up to, going up to doors, for example, in rural Gaming County is something I did a lot of last year when I ran. And it was a lot of those folks are just like, no one's coming for me. And at least Donald Trump says I can have, like a taco in the morning, or like is speaking to me like a friend would, that you want to get a beer with or whatever. And I think we just need to start showing up again and not being afraid to just be like, I'm here out of curiosity. I want to know what you feel. I'm going to push back on you and you're welcome to push back on me. And let's get to that greater understanding. So I think it's like the community aid piece. It's also just treating folks with respect and making sure that you are like having the conversations rather than just completely writing off any one person or any group of people.
Absolutely. And I think that's an important point to bring up again too. It's not just about having the uncomfortable conversation that you want to make someone else uncomfortable to self-assess. It's about what are they going to say that challenges your own beliefs. Be ready to be uncomfortable too. Emily Cephalos, thank you so much for being here today. I love talking to you. I'm going to have you back real, real soon. You can read her piece, How Democrats Can Rebuild Trust in the Recombobulation Area. Subscribe to that right now. It's super affordable. It gets you great coverage. Won a bunch of awards, including, who knows, maybe Emily Cephalos will be accepting one as well. I don't know, but we love having her here. I really appreciate your time, Emily. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
When we return, Miranda Dunlap from Wisconsin Watch will be here to talk about the shortage of 911 dispatchers in Brown County. You want to stick around, stay close, stay hydrated. You are amazing. Let no one tell you differently. This is Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you soon.
I said no. I don't like 'em. No, I don't like 'em.
Good morning and welcome. No, welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, if you would like to help support Civic Media, you can always go to our Civic Media store.
Ooh!
Get some merch.
Love merch.
We got merch. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shop at the very top. And we've got some different t-shirts, and we've got a hat and some little tchotchkes. So if you would like to help support Civic Media, maybe buy a new t-shirt for fall.
Go to the Civic Media store. Oh, there's some stuff, fun stuff there. John and Gordy have a t-shirt. They're looking suave.
Looking very fine.
We should have a t-shirt.
They're maybe Matt and Air on Air merch-ish.
Merch and Air on Air.
Someday.
That was dumb.
That will let you know. But for right now, you can proudly wear a Civic Media t-shirt. Go to civicmedia.us, click on shop. And check out our wares. Yeah. It is 10:30, just about 10:37. This is the portion of the show that we call Audio Sorbet, where we
clean your ears with fun.
Thank you. I'd like that on a t-shirt. Today, Audio Sorbet, Food Takes, Cracker Edition.
Yes.
Before we went on the air this morning, we were talking. We always like to kick things around about what we want to do in this segment. Somehow we started talking about crackers.
Well, this is what I really love about Audio Sorbet is that you can plan a show. You can look at the news. There's plenty of news to look at. There's plenty of stuff you can discuss throughout the entirety of the show. But I feel my personal thought is that Audio Sorbet has to happen in the moment, and it usually happens about a half an hour or less before we go on air.
It's kind of a spontaneous thing.
Because you can't force fun, And it really comes out of a conversation where we're talking about the most mundane thing.
Absolutely.
And I said, it started with cheese.
That's right. We were talking about cheese.
I just was, I love.
Which is going to be another audio sorbet.
This is totally separate. So don't give us your cheese takes yet. We'll get to that eventually. We promise. But I was talking about the fact that we've been on a big Munster cheese kick at the house. It's just, and I feel it's the perfect cheese because it's not too hard, not too soft.
That's tasty. An argument for another day.
You're fine. I'm right. Everyone else is wrong. No, I don't think it's the best. It's just our cheese of choice right now. It's what, I mean, tomorrow it could be a fine brie. But I then went into the, what I find to be an annoyance that when,
oh, yes. The great cracker switcheroo.
It's more like the cracker substitution. And I will say that, and I'll bet you a lot of people agree. I love a Triscuit. I love a Triscuit. And a plain one, too. Just a salty Triscuit.
Those lovely salty Triscuits.
They can dip any. They're just built for speed.
I like it's a heftier cracker.
Yes. It doesn't get broken apart by dips.
Exactly.
You put a even sometimes a scoop in there, and you're like, oh, it's not just waiting in the pool.
Sure.
And I don't like it when I go to a party and I'm looking for Triscuits and someone says, oh, we just have Wheat Thins. Inside, I am upset. I don't say it out loud because that just makes me sound like psychopath.
But it's a lesser cracker.
Oh, absolutely. In both in size, in thickness, in value alone. I feel like when you tell me, oh, I don't have a Triscuit, but we have Wheat Thins, you might as well just be like, you're not my friend. Why don't you just get out of my house right now? That's how I feel.
Very strong feelings about Triscuits.
And then tell me they're not there. I'll pick some up.
Calvin, want to weigh in on the great cracker debate? Yeah.
Tell me how I'm wrong, Calvin. You always do.
I will. So I will say Wheat Thins are better than Triscuits.
Of course you do.
But neither are good. I'll pass on both. I will take either a Ritz cracker or a Townhouse cracker. The most basic, nice. They're crunchy. They're also light and fluffy a little bit.
A little buttery.
Yeah, perfect.
What is your cracker of choice? 855-752-4842. Is it your classic Ritz?
Mm-hmm.
Is it perhaps the regular Triscuit?
Mm-hmm. And don't even give me the
garlic flavored.
Yeah,
all
I don't
the
need
herb
that
flavor. The fancy flavored crackers. No.
Oh, no. You like I don't need flavored Triscuits. Just give me the good old fashioned
regular run of the mill Triscuit cracker and salt.
And I'm not surprised that Calvin disagrees with me on like multiple levels. He's designed to disagree with me, it seems. We never agree. I thought we could come together on this.
Everyone has their own opinion.
Townhouse?
855-752-4842. What is your favorite cracker? We got your Triscuit faction.
Mm-hmm.
I love Triscuits. Pro Triscuit.
But
Townhouse crackers, they're light and butter. I like the ooh.
To me, a Ritz or especially a Townhouse, they're built for one thing and one thing only: soups. Crunch up
what?
Townhouse and you put cracker in soups.
Fritos in soups.
Get out of my country. What are you talking about? Fritos in chili, yes, but like you have like a chicken noodle soup. You crush up some Townhouses and you let it just happen.
No, you throw in little Fritos.
Let me ask you a question. When you go to a restaurant, Jane,
mm-hmm.
and you order soup, do they give you a little packet of Fritos or a little packet of crackers?
Well, if it was a good restaurant, they would give me Fritos.
Oh, I see. Okay, so now it's about what restaurants. Okay, great.
Just saying.
Calvin, thoughts on this one? Tell me once again how I'm wrong.
Well, I'm not a huge crackers and soup fan, but my head goes to saltines are the crackers you put in soup.
Yeah. To me, a Townhouse, a Ritz, or saltines, those are all the same in my opinion.
Saltines are considerably grosser.
No. Calvin, don't stop there. Please finish that thought.
They're like, I don't know. They're thinner and more stale tasting. They have less flavor.
There's not a lot of taste to a saltine cracker.
Well, let's be fair, everybody here. If you took the salt off of any one of these aforementioned chips, they taste like nothing. You're really, it's once again,
it's a delivery system.
It's a salt delivery system. Yep. But yeah.
Got some texts coming in. By the way, let us know where you stand on the cracker issue at 855-752-4842. John from Oshkosh. Any cracker is good if it came from a barrel.
Kaboom!
Add some venison sausage and cheese. Good eating.
Oh, yeah.
Liz from Saukville. Cars water crackers. My husband likes those. Those two, though, they don't even have any salt on them.
No, and it's funny because I only know Cars water crackers from a song from a comedy duo from Australia where they used Cars crackers as the main point of the character.
Wow.
She's the greatest cracker packer ever. I'll play for you someday. You will laugh hard.
Good to know.
Yeah, that one is saltless and tasteless. But hey, you know, but if that thing is, if you're doing the whole venison sausage and cheese, again, delivery system. When venison and sausage, I use the venison as the cracker.
As the cracker.
Yeah.
Liz from Saukville. Sarah from Green Bay. Chicken and a biscuit.
What is that?
You've never had a chicken and a biscuit cracker?
No.
Oh, they're yummy.
They're
very specific.
In a biscuit. I am learning new things. It's a savory cracker that tastes like chicken. Okay, a dish. Okay, all right.
It's kind of yummy.
I thought, actually. If you said to me chicken in a biscuit, I would think of some like heavy duty, gut filling breakfast dish.
We're talking serious stuff here. Crackers. Your favorite crackers. 855-752-4842. Sue from Franklin, Crunchmaster roasted garlic. Crunchmaster multi-seeds. I love those too, Sue, but I like the regular ones.
They're good, but there's something about the consistency. I can only have a few of them after a while. They start to taste like...
Really?
Yeah. Also, heavy duty for dipping. That's a good dipping chip right there too. It's also built for speed.
Tammy from Eau Claire listening on WCFW. Some people would call you three crackers.
Okay. All right. Wow. Thanks, Tammy.
We're a little odd.
We're odd. We're
we embrace it.
We're like the we're fine. We're like the Liberty Bell.
Favorite crackers for audio sorbet today, 855-752-4842. You got your Triscuit faction, you got your Ritz people, then there's the Saltine, which I think it's a smaller group, at least from what we're seeing.
Yeah. I like a Saltine. I guess I would say that then. You know, I like a Saltine for a soup or a Townhouse for soup. I don't really mess with Ritz too much. It's not really my
doesn't do
much for me, no.
Matt from Richland Center. Calvin, you need to butter the Saltine. That is yummy.
Well, yeah, that's a given. I would never eat
plain Saltines.
Saltine isn't a great cracker for like cheese. Like I would never eat cheese and crackers with saltines.
I don't disagree with you at all. And honestly, I really think saltines are only designed for upset stomachs and soup.
That was the go-to when we were sick. Yeah. It was ginger ale and saltine crackers.
You really have so many more cracker options when it comes to like...
Have you been down the cookie cracker aisle at your grocery store lately? It's unbelievable.
That many?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There are going to be 47 different varieties of crackers. I didn't know we needed that
many. Is
there
a cracker you dislike?
That is anything with the rosemary flavorings.
Okay.
When they start getting into the flowery things in food, I am very anti that.
Okay.
It's like lavender infused ice. No, I don't infuse it.
I think when you hear something like lavender or infused, it's their way of saying this is $1.50 more expensive. Whenever you use that language, I've said this before and I'll say it until the day I die. It might even be on my gravestone. Flatbread is just expensive pizza. That's all that is. That's all that is.
There you go. Colleen from Richland Center listening on WRCE oyster crackers. They are not fishy.
No, and they're...
That's not a bad little handful snack.
They're also terrible for soup because it takes a decade for them to soften. They're so just rigid.
You got to sink them.
Guess, oh, I didn't realize there was...
You have to hold them under.
I'm literally looking up. I got to drown those.
I'm trying to find
pretzels? What is a pretzel?
It sounds like a pretzel cracker.
Yeah, I think it's those flat pretzels. They look like pretzels, but they're flattened. I'm looking at all of the crackers now. Wikipedia has a page.
There's a billion crackers.
There's a billion crackers out there.
855-752-4842 before we move on.
Ooh, a cheese cracker. That looks really good.
I mean, does do goldfish count?
Yes. Yes, I would. I would. I would. Yes. Because it? Yeah, it's just
because he can't really put anything on it.
You're not trying hard enough, lady.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I have to work.
You
harder.
Take one of those with peanut butter. Come on now, or whatever you want to put. You know what? What cracker I've grown out of over time that you know you loved when you were a kid? Graham.
Graham cracker just and butter. Eh. Oh, that's also a childhood favorite.
Graham crackers right, are underrated. A s'more hits the spot every right. time.
True.
Calvin gets the last word. When we return, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the This Blows edition. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Cheese and crackers, anyone? I said no. I don't like them.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We do have baseball later on today. Yesterday, what a turnout for Euchre Day at AmFam Field. It was really great, and I've seen a lot of clips from it and stuff. Yeah. And not a dry eye in the house.
No.
Not a dry eye in the house. It was pretty wonderful.
Yeah. I went to the game on Friday night with Dan Schaefer.
I saw.
Disappointing weekend for games. Amazing game on Saturday, Friday night. Oh, my God. I saw a good one. I screamed and yelled so hard I almost fell into my chair because I couldn't breathe. I was so excited. But seeing the statue of Euchre, just, you know, I mean, he's just part of our history. He's
absolutely
ingrained in our DNA as Wisconsinites and baseball fans and Americans.
And Americans, yeah. It was just great to see him honored yesterday. Yeah. Coming up on the show tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow will be here. Mm-hmm. I will not.
Why not?
I am taking a little time off.
Why is everyone doing this to me?
Calvin, what's going on? Calvin got time off. I'm getting time off. You're going to be here.
I'll be here.
Greg Bach will be here. Calvin will be here. A Calvigade of stars.
I'm taking the reins, and we're going to make a move.
He's going to change things.
Yeah, I'm going to change things.
I appreciate you guys holding down the fort while I will be gone.
I'm signing so many executive orders tomorrow.
You're going to completely change the show
exactly,
when I'm gone, aren't you?
It's exactly.
Greg on Air when I get back.
Don't
so
ever say that title
gonna
again.
It's going to be just fine. It's getting late, Calvin. 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the Miami Herald. Helena Wegner with the byline. I just like the headline. Wendy's customer tries to pay for food with cocaine. It went poorly. A 27-year-old man tried to pay for his Wendy's order in Colorado with cocaine, according to deputies. It did not go as planned. The man pulled up to the drive-thru in July in Castle Pines, Colorado, asked if he could pay for his meal with drugs, then showed the clerk a bag with a white powdery substance resembling cocaine. Hey, can I give you this for a burger? The fast food worker told him no. And the guy said he would wait for them to see if they changed their mind.
This, you're lying to me, Ryan. This
and
is
then
a sketch.
Went into the restaurant.
This also could have been entitled Man Tries Really Hard to Get Arrested in Colorado Wendy's.
Deputies say they looked in his vehicle and saw a white substance lined out in plain view. They also found baggies for distribution, a scale, several alcohol shooters. In violation of his active protection order. Oopsie.
Oh, God.
The substance was confirmed to be cocaine. The sheriff's deputy says, quote, pro tip, the drive-thru is for burgers and fries, not narcotics, unquote. Castle Pines is about 25 miles from Denver. I have a feeling his active protection order is still in effect.
I feel like, okay, so you say the first part, okay, you're like, all right, weird. Then he goes in and
then
does
he goes into the restaurant.
But it all makes sense when they bust him because you're like, oh, this is a car that is an active drug party. Like this is a 24-hour
it was
party
a rolling
people
dealer.
Thing. Yeah, so of course he just thinks that because, hey man, I want to get a Baconator. You take some blow for it? I got some of the good white stuff. Yeah.
Oh my.
I mean, it's once again another story that can be filed in going after Florida trademark on this one. I feel like this could have easily been a Florida
Colorado man.
Colorado. Yeah. In Florida they fight gators in each other's faces. In Colorado they just find new ways to pay for things with drugs.
With drugs. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As I said, tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow will be here in hour number one.
And in hour number two, running for Lieutenant Governor, current Wisconsin Secretary of yes. State, Sarah Godlewski, will be on the show. We'll be talking to her about her newly announced campaign for Lieutenant Governor, as well as other things she's working on.
Emily Zephos going to be here later on this week.
She'll be here on Wednesday.
She's fabulous.
And then, of course, a cavalcade of stars, including Angela Lang will be my guest co-host this coming Friday.
She is magnificent.
Along with Dan Schaefer, too. It's going to be very, very fun. It's
going to be great. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, noon to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwama, 6 to 8 p.m., and then much, much more, including Native Roots Radio.
Have fun, Jane.
So check it out. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you later.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.